our Bibles and let's make the statements that are up on the screen. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to hear your word. And we thank you that as we do hear your word, Lord, we hear it with the attitude of doing it. Lord, today we won't just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And thank you, Lord, for ministering your word to us in such a way that we see for ourselves how to apply what we've heard so that we do it and we are blessed. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me also say, too, if you are a teacher or a student, I want you to know that we are praying for you. I know the students and the teachers. The teachers went back this last week. Hillsborough County, Pasco County, some of the surrounding students go on Sunday. And so as a church, we want you to know we are praying for you. We're praying for your families. And we speak protection over your schools. And in fact, the next couple of weeks, we're going to have out front, once again, as we do every year, just to sign up for you to tell us what school your family or children are in or that you're working in. And we will give that to our prayer team. And our prayer team will pray over your schools. How many of you agree we need to pray for protection? And we also just pray that God will have his way and bless those schools. Where is it, whether your school is private or public, please list it, and we next week we'll have that out for you. Well, I want to continue this week our series entitled God is Good All the Time. And really, what better time to reflect on the goodness of God than this anniversary month as we celebrate 21 years. Now, next week is our official anniversary celebration. But we've just been celebrating the whole month and reflecting on God's goodness to us. God is good all the time. And today I want to continue this series with a message entitled, Believe the Good. Sometimes it can get a little challenging to believe the good. Sometimes so many things happen in this world, evil things. Or maybe it's just something in your life that you've been believing God for, and over time, it's just been more difficult to believe the good because you just haven't seen the good yet. Well, today I want to teach you from the Word of God how to believe the good. And as we get into this message today, I want to begin by reading what I'm going to use throughout this series as the text scripture, and it's found in Psalm 100. I missed something. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, I got to get my thoughts in order. Have you ever had to put your thoughts back in order? One thought got out of line ahead of the other one. Let me put my thoughts back in there. Back to Psalm 100. I'm on trial. God is good. Psalm 100 verse 5 says this, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Here's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that God is good, that he always does good, that he is good to everyone, and that God is good to me. Now, last week, we looked at three ways to erase doubt. Doubt can creep into our lives through situations and circumstances. So you're going to have to know how to erase doubt in the goodness of God, or that God will be good to you. And so we learned three things, and I want to quickly go back over those three things. Erase the doubt, number one, by knowing God's character, by know his word. By knowing his word. If you know God's character, then it will erase the doubt. And the way you know God's character is to know his word. The word of God reveals the character of God. And let me say this. God always acts in line with his character. Number two, you want to erase doubt? Then believe in God's goodness, act on his word. You see, when doubt comes, sometimes you just have to go ahead and take a step of faith and go ahead and act like you believe that God is good. And as you step out in faith and take action, it will erase the doubt and you will see God's goodness. Number three, if you want to erase the doubt, see God in good as one. Never separate God from his goodness. Never allow any thought that you have or any word that you speak to separate God from goodness. And we said this, if we won't separate God from his goodness, the enemy can't separate us from the goodness of God. Now, let's talk about believe the good. Go with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 27 and verse 13. And actually, this is David here. And this particular passage is one of my favorite passages. And I could say this, it's one of my go-to scriptures when I need a little strength to believe the good. And so let's read what David said here, Psalm 27 and verse 13. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, David uses the phrase here, I would have lost heart. You know, when we lose heart, we're really saying that our courage is waning. We don't have the courage to continue to stand. We're saying that we feel like giving up. We want to quit. We can't see the good. And you know what's so bad about that? Are you going to see good if you collapse? Are you going to see good if you quit? The enemy says, well, just quit. As if it's going to be wonderful if you quit. As if it's going to be better if you don't keep standing. He knows something's good is coming. Now, David made this statement in the midst of a very trying situation. If you read Psalm 27, David says, my enemies are threatening me. They're falsely accusing me. I have every reason to be fearful of them. And yet, in the midst of all of that, David made this statement. I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have quit. But I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, the Bible uses that phrase, the land of the living, but what David is saying here, I believe I'm going to see God's goodness on this side. While I'm still in this life. Listen, we know things are going to be good when we get to heaven. But David's saying, listen, I believe that I'm going to see God's goodness on this side in my life. I like the word that the King James uses. Psalm 27, 13, same verse. But he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, I believe you're probably like me. There's times I've almost fainted. Come on, have you ever been where David was? Where you really felt like giving up? Just the weight of life? I mean, it wasn't just one thing. In fact, I got a text from someone this morning because I had reached out to them. I hadn't seen them in church for a while, and I just reached out and said, hey, I've been missing you. And they came back, and I mean, I think I have 5 texts on my phone, this listing of all the things that had gone. And they said, well, and that's not all. Air conditioning went out, you know, mother-in-law's in hospice, and then my transmission went out in my car. But they said, we've got peace in the midst of it all. Listen, sometimes just life, it doesn't even have to be a big tragedy. It doesn't have to be something monumental. But sometimes you're just believing God, maybe for some inside peace, for some victory, and you want to quit. You want to give up. You want to collapse. You want to faint. I've almost fainted. One time I did almost faint at Disney. I was a college student, and I had been on vacation with my parents, and we had driven back home late at night on a Friday night, got in really early Saturday morning, but there was already a trip to Disney planned by some of my friends at our church. And, you know, I'm an energetic college student, so I thought, I'm going to Disney. I don't care what time. If I only got 3 or 4 hours worth of sleep, I'm young. I can go to Disney. And so I got up and I went to Disney and met all of them there. We were having a great time. Everything was going great throughout the day. And then finally about 1:30 in the afternoon, you know, it was in the middle of the summer, so it was hot. And I remember we were standing there. Most of you probably been to Disney. And I was standing there waiting to get on the Jungle Cruise. And the line was long. It's summer vacation time. And it was so hot. And finally, the line was so long, we weren't even under Disney's canopy for a little bit. And then finally we got under where they have all the canopy and some fans, so it got a little cooler. But once we got under that canopy, I'm standing there in line. All of a sudden, I looked at my friends and I said, I'm going to faint. Well, I think I've told y'all some stories before, so you knew that in my earlier days I could be a little bit of a jokester, so they didn't believe me. Oh, that's just Jane. You know, all of a sudden I said, no, I'm going to faint. And another lady in the line, she saw I was becoming flushed and she heard what I was saying. She said, she is. And she said, put your head between your legs. And, you know, they started helping me out. Well, then by this time, of course, the Disney employees realize what's going on and they wheel a wheelchair up there and they get me seated and they take me off to first aid. And really what they did is they got me in a cool place. And then, of course, being a college student, you know I was thinking about hydrating myself with water all day long. You know that. Well, of course I hadn't. So, you know, not only was I exhausted and, you know, then the heat, then I was dehydrated. So you know what they did to keep me from collapsing again? They rehydrated me. Well, you know what I'm going to do this morning with the Word of God? I'm going to rehydrate you. Come on. Listen, life has a way of just causing us to become, with our faith, dehydrated. And that's one of the reasons why you need to come to church. It's because you want to go back into the world filled with the Word of God, filled with your faith, because you're going to need to stand. Because can I tell you this? If you don't believe in the goodness of God, you will faint. You will collapse. You see, all of us have been where David was. But here's the question. Can we say what David said? Can we say, I would have fainted? We don't want our testimony to be, I fainted. Now listen. Even on the way down, start speaking scripture. And the Holy Spirit will just lift you up. Or if you're down, don't stay down for the count. David said, I would have fainted. I would have lost heart. But, listen, a pastor friend of mine always says, you need to make sure you're on the right side of the but. He said, but I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come on, I want to help you get on the right side of the butt this morning so that you're saying, I believe that I'm going to see not just anything. Come on, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David was saying so much about his faith right then. He wasn't saying, well, I'm having faith for this or I'm having faith for that. No, he said, I've got faith in a good God. He believed. Let me read the definition of that word believed for you. Here's what that word believed means. It's a Hebrew word, and it means to stand firm, to support, to be enduring, to trust. Wow. David's belief in God's goodness was strong enough to support him in a time of trouble. Here's my question. How's your support? In your time of trouble, when you're facing trials, when you're believing God for his goodness, do you feel supported or are your knees weak and wobbling and you come to church, help me? Again, I'm not saying we all have those moments, but come on, you need some more support. And what was it that supported David? We need to get specific here. What supported David? What came under him and literally just undergird him and held him up in the time of trouble was that he believed in the goodness of God. He believed that God was good all the time. Wow. He felt like fainting, giving up, but his faith held him up. Amen. His faith in what? His faith in God's goodness. Let me read for you the definition. In fact, I want to read you two different Greek scholars, Greek dictionaries that define this word goodness. I like what the Greek scholar Spyros Zodiotis says about this word goodness. He says it's goodness in the broadest sense. It ranges from practical, economic, or material good to abstract good. God's goodness? I mean, if it's good, it's God. Maybe what you need to see is economic. Maybe what you need to see is intrinsic, peace or joy, maybe what you need to see, come on, but God's good, it's broad. When he said, I believe in the goodness of God, David was saying, I believe whatever good thing I need, God is great enough and good enough to provide me whatever I need. I believe. Just Thayer's deep, I'll get it out, Thayer's Greek dictionary, that was a deep, that was a Greek dictionary together. Anyway, here we go, goodness. It means goods, good things, goodness, property, fairness, beauty, joy, prosperity. Abstract, practical. Anything you need. Come on. Can we say this? Can't you just all agree with me this morning? I bet you would. You would agree that God is great. Yes. Now, we learned last week that God is good. Yes. So if God is great and God is good, let us thank him for our food. No. Got carried away there. But listen, here's the truth. Because God is great and God is good, then God is great at being good. I like what Matthew Henry's commentary said about this passage. He said, David's belief in God's goodness empowered him to outlive his troubles. Don't you want to outlive your troubles? We need support to outlive the trouble. Because trouble is troubling. It wants to get our focus. It wants to cause us to gravitate toward that. You see, faith, or our belief in God's goodness, will not only help us overcome trouble, but our belief in God's goodness will help us to stand. You're winning, don't quit. I mean, sometimes it's simply you just have to stay in the game. You have to not give up. I mean, I know there's a second half. If you're behind on the first half, football's coming. You can win in the second half. The devil keeps telling you the score. Tell him the game's not over. Belief in God's goodness gives us the support we need to stand and win. David could stand a little trouble. You know why? He could stand a little pain. I mean, sometimes it's painful to stand when there's trouble all around. It's painful in our soul. It's a little pain there. But we have to get over the pain, and we have to keep standing because we believe that we're going to see the goodness of God. And if we believe God is good, you can count on it. You will see God's goodness. But here's my question. Have you developed your faith in God's goodness? Let's talk about developing that belief that God is good. I want to hydrate you this morning or rehydrate you. So let me take you to a familiar scripture about faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I want to just look at a few principles of how faith operates, but we're going to apply it to believing in the goodness of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." Some of you may recognize that passage. In other translations says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." But I like the New Living Translation says, "For we live by believing." You see, David was living by what he believed, not by what he saw. You see, it takes faith to live that way. It takes faith in God's goodness. Now, that word there, when it says we live by believing and not by seeing, that word seeing, it means sight. It means appearance. Could we just put it this way? We don't live by how things appear. But how many of you know they appear that way? And that's what we see. But you got to understand this too. While faith doesn't live by what it sees, faith does see what's not yet visible. Can you hand me my glasses there? Those big glasses. You see, sometimes you just got to put on your faith glasses. Come on. Uh-oh, my hair's probably going to stick out. My hair look okay, Marie? Okay, good. Come on. And how many of you know sometimes you look foolish to people when you're living by faith? But see, the thing is, faith isn't blind to what is. I can still see what is. Faith isn't blind to what is, but faith also sees what isn't. What hasn't yet appeared. Faith sees the goodness of God. You need to put on your faith glasses. Yes. Because when you put on your faith glasses, you begin to see God's goodness. Yes. You see it in your mind. You see it in your heart. You see it in God's promises. You see it with the eye of faith. Yes, it's not here yet, but the reason you can stand is because you live by faith, not by what you see. Uh-oh, I'm getting caught here. Now, I know I'm taking off my faith glasses. That does not mean that I have little faith. It just means that I'm going to distract y'all if I keep those on. I like what Matthew Henry commentary also said about faith. He says, "Those that walk by faith in the goodness of the Lord shall in due time walk in the sight of that goodness." Can you see God's goodness? Can you just see it by faith? It's going to take faith. Look up the promises of God. Give yourself something to think about. Give yourself something to see. Now here's another principle of faith. Not only does faith see what isn't there and it's not moved by what is there, but faith also is a fight. Here's what Timothy was told by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who was Timothy's mentor, was about to finish his race here. And here's what he told Timothy, this young minister, 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses." It's a good fight, but it is a fight. That word fight there, it's a Greek word. We're in the New Testament now, and it means to contend for victory. says it also came to mean to take pains, to wrestle as in a prize contest, straining every nerve to the uttermost toward the goal. You can't be wimpy and live by faith. You're going to have to strain your spiritual muscles to see the goodness of God. And by that strain, I mean you may have to spend more time in the Word of God. You may have to spend more time in prayer. You may have to spend more time confessing the Word of God because there's trouble all around you. But come on, it's a fight of faith. But I like the fact that he calls it a good fight. And you know what a good fight is. It's one you win. I mean, it's not a good fight if you don't win. I remember listening to a sermon years ago by a minister, and she traveled, and she was packing up in her hotel, but she's an avid sports person, so she had the sports channel on as she was packing up her things to head to the airport, and there was a fight going on when she turned it on, and she heard the announcer talk about one of the fighters and mention his faith. So all of a sudden, you know, she looked at, I'm going to root for that guy. And she just started rooting for that guy. She was praying for him. Come on, Jesus' name, win, you know. And all of a sudden, the announcer came on and announced that he was the winner. That whole time, it was a replay. He had already won the fight. Listen, you've already won the fight. Jesus won it for you, but you have to contend for the victory. You have to fight the good fight of faith, and it is not always easy. And while you have to fight the good fight of faith, there are breakthroughs. Yes, we will always be living by faith on this side of heaven. We will always be fighting the good fight of faith, but you have breakthroughs. It's not always just a fight. There, you get to win. You get to see God's goodness. Now, how does faith fight? It's a good question. How does faith fight? How do you fight with your faith? Some of you aren't good at fighting with your faith. Some of you, when I say fight with your faith, you don't even know how to fight. Can I tell you another story? I don't want to get too far off. This is so bad. When I was in junior high school, talk about insecure. I was a skinny little thing. I mean, you think I'm thin now. I'm not so thin now. Back then, I was skinny. And I was not athletic. I was a good student, you know. I had the brains, not the brawn. Nothing. I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't go out for cheerleading. I was not strong at all. And I don't know, there was some kind of confusion. This was before I came to Jesus. There's some kind of confusion. And this friend that was a good friend of mine, I just made friends with a new, you know how girls are. I'd made friends with a new girl, and my old friend was mad because I was friends with her now. And so then she told the new person that I was friends with that I liked some guy that she liked, and told her that she ought to beat me up. And so, and I really liked this girl, and she liked me, but this other girl was kind of, you know, the more popular one. And so she told this girl to challenge me to a fight. I was dumb. I accepted. Well, she bloodied my lip. You know, it didn't last long. I didn't know how to fight. I never fought before. How do you fight? So I just stood there and she walloped me and it was over. And then we walked home together. And she helped me make up a story to tell my mom as to why my lip was busted. She said, tell your mom, you know, she knows we're friends now. Tell your mom that I opened the locker right when you were coming. And so I did. But I didn't know how to fight. Some of you, you don't know how to fight. You don't know how to fight the fight of faith. He said in there that part of fighting the faith was your confession. Now, we know confession does include when we repent of our sins, but it also has to do with speaking the word of God. And so the way you fight the Height of faith is you speak the promises of God. While you're standing there, you begin to declare God's goodness. In fact, let me finish up. I got to finish up here. Let me take you to a couple of good places, some good faith talks. Listen to Psalm 145, verse 5. And let's go back to David, because obviously David knew how to fight the fight of faith. He wasn't fainting. We want to say what David said, Psalm 145, verses 5 to 9. It says, I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on his creation. Are you sharing the story of God's goodness while you're standing there? Or what stories are you telling when trouble is all around you? Come on, teaching you how to fight the good fight of faith. And then he says, sing with joy. Yeah. I love Psalm 136 or Psalm 13:6. It says, I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. You know what faith does? Faith sings while it's standing there. And in this particular instance, faith sings about the goodness of God and how good God is. Come on, fight like you have faith. Amen. Because it keeps your focus on the goodness of God. You see, I can tell what you're focused on by what you're saying. But also, just like your words reveal your focus, your words will also determine your focus. And if the enemy has taken your attention off of God's goodness, get it back on. Come on, fight. Yes. But don't walk home with the enemy like I did. Come on. Let me end with this. Psalm 23, verse 6. I love this. This will build your faith. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. When we believe the good, when we fight the good fight of faith, God's goodness will pursue us all the days of our life. How many want to be pursued by the goodness of God? Well, then it's simple. Believe the good. Did you get something out of that this morning? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads as we close out the service today. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the opportunity that we've had today to be in your presence. And once again, Lord, I...